Hello everyone, and welcome to the podcast of late English composer Andrew Downes. My name is Paula Downes, I am Andrew's younger daughter. And this is a difficult episode because it is the first one since my dad died on January the 2nd, 2023. My mum, sister Anna and I were all with him on January the 1st in hospital. He had gone into hospital on Christmas Day and went very slowly through A&D, where they struggled to work out what was wrong with him. They tried everything they could to help him to get better. The hospital was jam-packed, and we were told we couldn't visit for several days due to COVID and flu on the ward. We are very grateful to my dad's carer, Victoria, who looked after him so beautifully over those days. On January the 1st, they phoned us up to say we could go in and see him and that he was very poorly. I was very grateful that my husband and daughters could go to my in-laws where we had planned to spend New Year. I was shocked to see how poorly my dad had become and knew the end was near. It was a harrowing day, but we had the chance to tell him we loved him. I woke up with a jolt in the early hours of January the 2nd in my parents' house and remember having a strong sense that my dad was shrinking away from me very fast, like when you wake up from a dream and try to pull it back but can't. It was as though he was shrinking under a pool of water, and I desperately wanted to pull him back. I had that vision over and over again in the months after as I would try to fall asleep at night. I still want to pull him back. When the phone rang at 5 something in the morning, and the nurse had to tell me he had died because my mum was already up and in the shower, I felt as though I had already known. I then had to deliver the news to my mum and then phone up my sister, and we all went to the hospital to say our final goodbyes. The nurses were so kind and were obviously very upset too. Afterwards, we sat dazed in the hospital Costa, sharing the news with close family over the phone and then on Facebook and over email. The barrage of beautiful messages we received back were of monumental comfort to us as we made our way through the day, driving from church to crematorium, trying to work out funeral details, crying here and there as it hit us afresh. We took Victoria, my dad's carer, with us, because we didn't want to leave her alone and felt she should be with us. She had been his carer for several years throughout the whole of COVID, so she was very upset. It was a beautifully sunny, crisp January day, culminating in a spectacular sunset. We kept ending up on the stunning country lanes of Worcestershire as we travelled. We were convinced that my dad had taken us on his favourite routes, and I had visions of him having escaped his body, flying through the sky over the hills, shouting, "Whee!" We kept seeing amazing clouds, and we were sure it was him, as in these words of a Native American poem that he set for his oratorio, New Dawn. "Now I cannot say what they will make of me. I may take the form of a cloud. I wish I could be a cloud. When a cloud comes this way, you will say, 'That is he.' When I get to the place of spirits, I will hear everything you ask. You must always remember me. I am a spirit and I bless you." This was actually the last piece he listened to before he died. Anna managed to locate an iPad and headphones for him to help him through his difficult passage. It was an ideal thing for him to listen to, about the spirit passing to the next life, and he was so pleased with this multi-track recording I made of this with my husband David a few years ago. My mum chose it to be played when my dad's coffin was brought in at the start of his funeral, another stunningly beautiful crisp February day.
Thank you.
My dad was a very special person. I did know I loved him a lot, but it has now been brought into very sharp focus. I didn't know lots of others felt the same way about him. I thought I felt that way because he was my dad. The outpouring of love in the messages we received made me realise he was a special person to a great many other people. I wrote the following words soon after he died, imagining that I might speak at the funeral. As it turned out, I sang and Anna gave a beautiful eulogy. These are the words I wrote. I would like to thank the figure in charge for giving me such a gorgeous, hilarious, kind, lovely, supportive, and extremely clever dad. My dad has always been there for me, a lovely, calming figure who always said the right things to de-stress me, either with some outrageous joke which would result in a room full of people rolling around with laughter, or the perfect words to make me feel better. I vividly remember him calming me down when I got very upset about death after reading Little Women when I was about 12. He told me that life is a great adventure, a journey that we are all on together, and that it is exciting, and that we should enjoy it. Those words give me a lot of comfort now. When I was growing up, he used to tell me to take a break from practice if I was obviously too tired. He strongly advised me not to continue with my maths A-level back in 1996 because I was working non-stop with no breaks. He really helped me to calm down when I was a stressed-out new mum. I would be fretting about routines, feeding, sleeping, crying, and he would just pick up the baby and give it lots of love and humour, usually by blowing raspberries and singing, and he really taught me how to enjoy my daughters. In the December just before he died, I was so grateful to him for telling me I might as well just keep going after all my hard work so far on my new career in accountancy. This was when I told him I felt like giving up when preparing for my latest exam. My dad had the perfect work ethic, which I will always carry with me. He worked intensively every single morning, right up until he went into hospital on Christmas Day, creating one amazing composition after another. He would spend the rest of the day cooking and relaxing. He did the same when I was growing up. He never missed a day of work at the conservatoire, would get up super early to beat the rush hour into Birmingham, and then, if there were no concerts, he would get home in time to watch The Demon Headmaster and Neighbours with me while my mum was teaching. He worked extremely hard, but also relaxed, and was a very strong presence in our family. He absolutely loved his holidays, and I loved them too. I remember hilarious car journeys, him smoking his pipe and reading a book, proudly coming from the boulangerie to our tent with a pile of freshly baked baguettes, playing tennis or badminton with us, gorgeous country walks, hilarious meals out. I was so lucky that he had the most beautiful natural singing voice I have ever heard, and that he encouraged me my whole life with my singing, helping me to continue to believe in myself in a very difficult music world. He taught me singing in such a natural way and was so careful to make sure I looked after my voice. He was a massive support in getting me my choral scholarship to Trinity, Cambridge. He helped me to practice exactly the right things, exactly the right amount, saying all the right things. He came with me to the choral trial and helped me warm up my voice in the grounds of St John's. He would always tell me that he didn't have the temperament for singing himself because he would get so nervous he would actually be sick, but that he believed I did have the temperament for it. Whether that was true or not, it made me believe I did. The song I chose to sing at his funeral meant a lot to me for many reasons. It has gorgeous melodies and harmonies that conjure my dad up at the time he was writing. He was always talking about different generations existing in different dimensions, and I now see this clearly through his compositions. How amazing is that, that I can conjure him up at an exact point in time? This music also brings back for me the first time I performed it at the Freshers' concert at Trinity. I had met some amazing new friends and we wanted to perform something together, so we needed to find a piece for soprano, flute, piano and cello. I asked my dad if he had written anything, and he had. We had such a good time rehearsing and performing this beautiful work, and I remember it going down really well at the concert. My mum and dad came to listen, as they always did, supporting me all the way and charming all of my friends. The recording I'm about to play of it was organised by my dad to be made at Birmingham Conservatoire. I wanted to make a CD of songs by him with my now husband, pianist David Trippett. At the time, we were both students at Cambridge, and these were some of the first songs we performed together. Making a CD recording was very exciting and we had great fun doing it. Of course, we absolutely had to go to one of my dad's favourite Italian restaurants near the conservatoire for lunch, the Galleria, a gorgeous place with old wine bottles hanging from the ceiling, red and white gingham tablecloths, and the most delicious margherita pizza you have ever tasted. For this particular cycle, we had family friend cellist Yvonne Parsons playing and her friend Debbie Martin on the flute. This is The Walk from the song cycle Lost Love by Andrew Downs, with words by Thomas Hardy. Grief is a strange thing indeed, and it feels as though it is a very new experience for me, although it is a familiar feeling, like the feeling when you get back from holiday and feel the crushing weight of having to go back to normality, or that feeling of remembering something from the past, like when your children were babies and realising they aren't anymore and you can't get that time back. I keep thinking, I'm done with this. Can he come back now, please? I have also spent time trying to search for him on the internet in my YouTube films and on other people's YouTube performances of his music. On one occasion, I thought through actually getting on a train to go to Birmingham Conservatoire to walk through the corridors, hearing the practice sessions of numerous instruments at once, to smell the familiar smell, maybe visit his office. And then it hit me. They demolished that building a few years ago. I can't even go there to find him. These strange moments grab you at very odd times. We have muddled along over these preceding months. He was a big presence in our family. We are all slowly finding our new places as life goes on. It's like being on the other side of a wall that's between two alternative realities. We are so grateful to have his music. That is the best place to find him, in the calm beauty of his long melodies and spacious harmonies. I have enjoyed making some films recently of some of his works that weren't already on YouTube, for example, the Sonata for Contrabass, Flute and Piano, the Oboe Sonata, the Mass for Solo Violin, the Sonata for Viola and Piano. This has been the greatest comfort to me. I was very close to my dad. Every time I get upset that he is no longer here, I remind myself he is actually still here, in a different dimension as he would believe. So many things bring him into my mind. He is stitched into the fabric of my existence and always will be. To end this podcast episode, I am going to play Romantische Mitternacht from his Suite for Six Horns. This is a piece that I have discovered recently in my searching for my dad. This is such a beautiful piece, and it is so beautifully performed by the horns of the Czech Philharmonic Orchestra.